Good to see each and every one of you this morning. You know, this morning in a Sunday school class, we talked about things that are wall and things that are challenging for us. One of mine is speaking loud, as you probably know. So I want to apologize in advance if sometimes I get really low. So I'll try and talk louder. It feels like I'm yelling inside. Yes, ma'am? What's that? Children's church. All right. We dismissed for children's church. Are we having children's church this morning? Fantastic. I'm just so used to being around the kids, I forget. Yeah. My two are running out of here. They're afraid I'm going to use them in a story. Good. If they can't hear it, that means I don't have to give them $5, right, Ms. Carr? Or $5 for them. I'm not on Brother Steve's payment plan. Mine's 50 cents. He's a senior pastor. There we go. That young man, that boy, that's yeah, they may be all right. I don't know if I am. All right. I'd like to start off with reading a passage of scripture for you. If you'll stand and if you have an opportunity, if you can. Reading God's Word. Psalms 18, verse 2. Psalms 18, verse 2. If you have that in your Bible, say Happy Father's Day. All right. It says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Graciously, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this service. Father, we pray that you would just bless these fathers and these grandfathers, these uncles and brothers who are here today, all the families here today, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would just breathe your spirit into us and grant us that we may hear a word from you. And hearing, Father, that we will know the way that you want us to go. We ask all this in the precious and mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. You know, when Brother Steve told me he was going out of town for vacation, he said they tried to find somebody who was a great biblical scholar to fill his shoes today. But that guy couldn't make it. So then they thought, well, we'll find somebody who's an eloquent speaker and just has all this wisdom and knowledge. And that guy was sick. So then they thought, well, I'll get a really good-looking guy to get up there and at least on Father's Day, you know, at least present a handsome fellow up there. But he was out of town. So then he came over to the school and he asked me if I'd fill in for all those guys and a little youth pastor. And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. So here I am, Lord. Pray for me as I am a disciple under construction this morning. I would like to start off with another thing from Sunday school. My daughter made this for me this morning. Little Lily and Miss Sakura's class. And this is worth more than gold to me. Right? I kind of held it up there. I thought about wearing it instead of my tie. I was going to kind of put this on because that's right there, and inside of it says, I love you, Dad, Lily. That'll probably stay in my Bible until the day the Lord calls me home. Whenever she makes little stuff like this for me and my kids, they'll craft a little something. Means more to me than anything they could buy in the store. It's just precious. I'll keep that. So I wanted to share that with you. This is a little bit about what Sunday school is about, teaching kids to love their parents and to honor their mother and their father. And so when she gets 16 and 17 and starts giving me a little trouble, I'm going to be like, hey, remember this? You said it, right? Use that, I tell you. Amen. Thank God for Mr. Sakura. Every time we drive by the church, we'll drive by, and she's like, Daddy, I'm going to my little school with Mr. Sakura. I'm like, I wish you was. Yeah, I call her up right now, see if she can get in there. So, yes. Thank God for Miss Sakura and the work that she does in there with the little ones. Amen. I guess before we get started, the church has put together some gifts for the men. I'd like to have all the men rise and come forward. There's a gift for you in the basket here for Father's Day and honoring you for Father's Day. So, yes, please rise. I know no guy wants to be first. I ain't going to be first. I'll wait somebody else to be first. So come on down. I think there's plenty there. Grab you one, and then we have some leftovers. If you have an uncle or a grandpa or a father who's not here today, please grab one. What I'd like to do is, as you men come down, if you'll just stay here for one moment, just all the men kind of stay right here, huddled up, kind of like a football huddle, if you will, a squad here. You know, it's awesome when a guy's phone goes off and it's the Bible, right? Amen, amen, I tell you. So we have all these gentlemen down here. There we go, I'll use that. You won't have to listen to me then. You just hear it straight from there. And what I wanted to do is maybe ask Brother Ronnie, if you would you just pray over these grandpas and these dads and these uncles and these brothers for these good men here this morning? Lord, you lift them up in prayer.
Lord, we're gathered here today, Lord, just to praise and worship you for everything you've done for us in our lives, Lord. We have fathers here, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, men of all sorts, Lord, that here in your house, Lord, to just thank you again, Lord, for what you have done. Lord, the men in our lives, we face a lot of issues in our lives, Lord, as being leaders in our homes, at work, and anything else we face in our community. And just give us that strength. Testify to you, Lord, that everything is about you, and our hearts should be focused on you, Lord. You guide us, Lord. Lord, we love you, and we just do anything for you, Lord. So that's why we as men just stand up and look towards you, Lord, and say, thank you, Lord, and help me as a father. Lord, again, too, just for those who aren't here, Lord, we miss them, we love them, and comfort them and their families, Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right, you gentlemen may have a seat. I know guys don't like to stand up in front of people for very long, right? I said there's plenty. Please take one to another family member that you may have, Brother James. You know, somebody noticed that the word father appears in the dictionary just before the word fatigue and just after the word fathead. I didn't write. I tell the kids all the time, why does Webster get to have all the fun? I like to add some words in there. So I just wanted to say again to you fathers, you fatigued, fatheads, happy Father's Day to you. I'm going to say that one more time just to you guys. But sincerely, we do thank God today for the men of this church, for the fathers that he has placed here in New Hope. I know as myself, I look to some of these guys as a like a surrogate father of my own. I know that if I have an issue, I can go to Brother Mike or Brother Carr or Brother Roger and pour my heart out to them and find out, you know, kind of get some wisdom and some knowledge and some discernment, I think, is what all men need, especially from guys who have already walked where I'm walking and the direction that I'm going. So I do thank God for the man he has placed here at New Hope and for the young man that he's placed at here at New Hope who are coming up behind me and 20 years younger than me, and they called me an old man. I'm like, I tell you what my father-in-law tells me, you'll be blessed one day to be my age. So there we go. So when you get 40, you'll see about that. So one time a little boy was asked to define Father's Day, and he said, it's just like Mother's Day, only we don't have to spend as much on the present. So that's why I treasure those little crafts that they make. I keep those. But they make those for moms, too. Your Mother's Day, you'll get something like that as well. You know, I come to realize that my kids and I speak a totally different language, a completely different language. we parents frequently make the mistake sometimes at thinking we're speaking the same language when really these kids, they have their own language, right? We see the kids, sometimes there's a misunderstanding between the languages that we have. Even though, let's say like Americans and English people speak the same language, we both speak English, but when an English person says bonnets, they're talking about the hood of a car. When we say bonnet, we kind of mean a hat. This the same is true with our children, and I've noticed that with my kids and then working with kids and the youth and at the school. And it seems that we're all speaking English, but under a closer inspection, it becomes clear that children and parents speak a different dialect altogether. Amen, right? Amen. So in the interest of better communication between the two species there, the youngsters and us, I've come up with some phrases and some translations to kind of clue you guys in on what I've learned in my brief stint of youth ministry and working for kids. When your son comes up to you and he says, I can't finish my hamburger, what that really means is I won't be hungry for at least 20 minutes. Or when your daughter comes up to you and says, I can't finish my fish, Dad, what she really means by that is your daughter, who does not like fish in the first place, figures she is eating enough of it to satisfy you and still get dessert. I tell you. Or your son may come up to you like they always do and they say, Dad, I didn't do it. What he really means, it has not been conclusively proven that I did do it. And it gives you like that little look. Shakes his head. I tell you, I got a 9-year-old, I know. Right? Or your daughter comes up to you like mine often does, and she says, Mom said it's okay. Mom said it's okay. What she really means is I'm going to ask Mom as soon as you say it's okay, Dad. Right? Got a little bullet in her belt. She's loading it. She knows how this operates. Right? One that we went through recently is our kids are like, Dad, Mom, can I have a dog? You know, you're thinking carpet, and no, right now is not a good time for a dog. Right now is just not a good time. So then he comes up to you and he says, Dad, can I have a boa constrictor? And what he means is your son still wants a dog, but figures by asking for something really awful would put him in a better position to get a dog, right? I'll tell you. You know, but us guys, we kind of have a few of our own, right, fellas? We have a few of our own like that. We speak a different language. You know, it's like when a man comes in, he says, honey, is dinner ready yet? What he really means is, why isn't it ready yet? I'm starving, right? And then I like this one. This is one I use a lot personally. It says, oh, no, don't fuss. I cut myself. It's no big deal. It's okay. What we're really saying, right, guys, is I've probably severed a limb. I'm bleeding to death. But before I admit that it's hurt or I need to go to the hospital, please get over here and help me. All right? I tell you, I do this all the time. That's just me. You guys relate to that. Ladies, is this what the guys are like? This is what we're like, right? It is. It's where we're at. So I think that all parents can testify that their children, their grandchildren, do speak a different language than they do. And it's one of the reasons that it's very difficult to bring up children. We tell our kids all the time, we have never been parents to a 12-year-old girl, to a 9-year-old boy, and to a 4-year-old little girl. Just saying that makes me tired. Right? I mean, there's both ends of the spectrum. But there are reasons, of course, but there are other reasons why it's difficult to bring up children, but I'd be up here all day talking about that. So I don't want to get into that today, but rather I want to speak to the men who are here and to the ladies too. Yeah, I know this is a Father's Day, a Sunday, and somebody asked me before Sunday school, praying for your Father's Day sermon. I was like, man, I thought it was Mother's Day. I got the wrong one written out. I worked on it last night. I've been typing it up for the last couple of days, and so I couldn't get my computer to print. So I thought, all right, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to handwrite it out, and I hand wrote the whole thing out. It took me 2.5 hours at the kitchen table, handwriting it, and it was a little over 13 pages, handwritten. I thought, these people will never get out and go to lunch. I'll never be asked back. And then Grace comes over, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm handwriting my sermon. I can't get the thing to print. She's like, oh, print. I just, what? Huh? Yeah, like 2 minutes. It was printed, looked good. When did it become that they start instructing us? And it's challenging, isn't it? It's like, wait a minute, I used to tell her how to use the computer. I used to tell her how to do this. And I remember when she was 4, I was giving her fatherly instruction and advice, and I was bent down, and she did this. Looks up at me and says, Dad, I know everything you know. I told her, I was like, you've been talking to your mother. So I wanted to talk to the men, to the parents here today, both fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, if you're in the congregation here this morning, about some of the things that we can do to make ourselves better parents, better grandparents. And I know I'm kind of just getting started in this deal, only having a 12-year-old. But let's listen to the words of wisdom out of God's Word, Proverbs 22:6. It says, train a child in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. I can remember my mom taking me to church as a little kid, even when I didn't want to go. And now I got that line. It says, when I was young, I had a drug problem. My mom drug me to church. So now I use that on my son. You can tell your friends that you had a drug problem when you were little. Your mom and dad drug you to church. I'll have to admit, sometimes he does not want to come. I think Pastor Steve has picked up on this idea when he sees him laid out in the pew. Right? But we do love our children. I'm sure you love your grandchildren. We treat them well. And yet sometimes they turn away from us. Sometimes they journey down roads that we don't understand or approve of. But in the end, if your hearts are open and the foundation is well laid, we see them return to us, like in the prodigal son, return to his father in Luke 15. If the door is open, then they will normally pass right through it and back to us. That's what we hope for and what we pray for. And I think part of the problem we have as parents, it's not that we have difficult children or that even that they speak a different language than we do, though it's often very true, as I'm convinced that a portion of the problem is that we, too, as parents, don't often know the way our children should go. It's challenging and it's difficult. And that's where that discernment comes in, of which way should they go. And more importantly, even when we know the way, often we fail to live it. I know just last night I kind of hit that threshold between Dr. David Banner and the Incredible Hulk. You know, Ron, you're on that line where at first you're a very intelligent human being, and then you go from there to this green monster. Maybe that's just me. It's like sometimes I lose my cool a little too easy. But if you would have seen Cooper last night, I think you would have been right there with me, right? So when our children become angry and they become distant and alienated from us and from God, what is the way? What is the way to show them? And as men, we must live godly lives. We must keep promises. Must keep promises concerning our relationship to the Lord. We must keep our promises with our relationship with our families and our relationships to other people. We must be mature in the faith and be the spiritual head of the household, and as God has called us to be, right? We as men must commit ourselves to build strong biblical marriages and support the mission of Christ with our time, with our talents, and more importantly, with our prayers. As men of Christ, we must devote ourselves to demonstrating the love of Christ in our community outside the walls of this church. As men, we are to live moral lives based on God's Word, scriptural principles. The result will be one of a renewed lives for our families. It'll bring renewal to the church. It'll bring renewal to the community. And ultimately, it'll bring a renewal to the world. Kind of like as Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And it's working. I believe looking at this congregation and the men I know here, the young men I know here, it is working. But the secret of all successful marriages and all successful parenting all rest in just two sets of hands. First and foremost are the hands of God. And secondly, in our hands, the men of their families. Psalms 31:15 says, my times are in your hands. Our times are in the very hands of God. And if we will allow those hands to be linked together, the results can be incredible. Lives will be changed. Lives will improve. Families are healed. If we live godly lives, then the odds are our children will live godly lives as well. In Ephesians 6 and again in Colossians 3, Paul shares the word and received from the Lord concerning children and their parents, and he writes this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment with a promise. I know I think the majority of the little kids went out, but we got a few teenagers in here this morning. Kind of interesting, it's a commandment with a promise. I listen to these words carefully. That it may go right with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. I think that's better than anything I can tell my kids as far as punishment, right? If I say something like this, I might get in trouble. But here's in God's words. That it may go right with you, that you may enjoy a long life on earth. Then he writes, fathers. Kind of calls us out here. Fathers. Do not provoke your children. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. That sounds like the way right there. That sounds like the way to go right there. Anytime I don't know the way, it says it right there. Train them and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. So these last words are surely inspired, especially for us dads or grandfathers, as parents. Do not provoke. Do not exasperate your children. Do not break promises to them. Do not neglect them. Or mindlessly indulge them in every whim. I know my kids, every time we're at the store, can I have, can I have, can I have? Sometimes I feel bad. I'm like, no, 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 no. And then I'm like, I remember what they have at home. They have a toy store at the house. It's like taking over the living room. Now I've got two kitchens. Lily's kitchen. In our kitchen, I've got 7 cars. 4 of them are Power Wheels that I cannot drive. In my carport, we park outside. The Power Wheels are in the carport. So then I think, no is not such a bad word. No, you can't have it. There's got to be limitations. Exactly right. I give an amen to that. Yes, sir. So then it goes on to say, so they will not lose all respect for you. It's kind of hard to believe you give somebody everything that they want and they lose respect for you. I think it's like the world today. God has given us everything that we want and everything that we need, and yet they've lost respect for their Heavenly Father. We see it. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You know, it was once said, a boy loves his mother. I've noticed that with my son, Cooper. Sometimes I think he loves her a little too much. I'm like, stand down. Man, that's my wife. What you doing? He's all got his arm around her, giving her little kisses. I'm like, you better step off. But it is sweet to see that he does love his mother. I just wish he loved his sisters that way as well. Right? So it says, a boy loves his mother, but he will follow his father. I noticed that the other day. I have a particular ball hat that I always wear. It's from one of his little league teams. I don't know why. It's just that hat. I like it. I probably got 10 other hats from all the little league teams I've coached with him. But I noticed the other day that he was wearing the same hat that I've been wearing. And he's probably been wearing it for a couple of days, and I thought, well, maybe he'll kind of go through that. And so I'll wear it, and I kind of look around, and he has the same hat on. He was on the same team. But usually he's wearing a Texans hat or, you know, something else. But he started wearing this ball cap that I wear. And so I thought about that. A boy loves his mother, but he'll follow his father. And as he gets older, kind of puts it in a different perspective now. He's no longer this little boy. He's becoming a young man and a teenager. And pretty soon he'll be driving. Oh. So, gentlemen, you know, the hardest thing you'll ever do is be a good husband. The hardest thing you'll ever do is be a good father to your children. It's not easy being a father or a mother. It has incredible challenges. It has incredible pains. But it has incredible joys. Incredible joys. Incredible little joys. We can do no better thing for our children than to personally walk in the way we should go. The Bible says in Psalms 37, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. I know when it comes to my children and my family, I like to have a firm footing. Problems come up, issues arise. Sometimes I don't know where to go. Me and my wife are like, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Can you play this game? What do you think? I don't know. And we go back and forth, and finally one of us has the brainchild. Hey, let's pray about it. Yeah. We should have started there in the first place. It probably wouldn't have went back and forth. What do you think? What do you think? So that's where we have to be mature in the faith. I know some of you older guys, you already got this figured out. I ain't quite got there yet. It takes me a little while to get there. All right, so pray for me as I am a disciple under construction. So we have to be mature in the faith and to be continually open to the transformation power of Christ. Now, I know it's Father's Day, and you guys are getting ready for the lunches, and barbecue is... Somebody going out to lunch here for Father's Day? You're blessing some restaurants out there. Just me and Miss, right? A couple of us are going out to lunch, right? We're going out to lunch. So I want to wrap this up here for you. I recently heard a touching story, actually read, and it was about a humble man whose son became very ill. As having children, it's one of my, just I pray for their health. Every day. Not that they will become rich and successful, just that they will be healthy and protected. So as this young boy undergone an extensive series of tests, the father was told some shocking news that his son had a terminal illness. The youngster had accepted Christ as a savior, and the father knew that death would bring him in to glory and bring him to heaven. So he wondered how to inform his son, this young man who has his eyes, this young little guy who has his smile, has his walk, kind of like a little mini person of the dad. He wondered how he'd tell his son that he would soon die. So after earnestly seeking the direction of the Holy Spirit, he went with a heavy heart through the hospital, sat down beside the boy, and he read a passage of Scripture. Didn't really say what passage of Scripture he read, but as reading, I kind of like Psalms 27. I think maybe he read this to him. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I lean on that as a father who has three kids. The Lord is my light. He shows me the way. He lights my path. So they gently told him that the doctors could only promise him a few more days of life. So the father says, "Are you afraid to meet Jesus, my son?" asked the devoted father. And blinking away a few tears, the little boy bravely said, "No, Dad, not if he's like you." The boy loves his mother. He'll follow his father. Beloved, the best thing we can do for our children, our grandchildren, is for each one of us to personally be right with God, to personally walk in the way, to walk in the truth, to walk in the life of our Lord. For no one comes to the Father except by Him, through Jesus. To never be satisfied, but continually to be seeking, to be transformed in the image of Christ. I know I want to be just like my dad, right? My Father in heaven. More and more each day, I want to be more like Jesus and less like myself. To finish this marathon of life, the race laid before us, to finish well, to give our all. And when we cross over to that side of eternity, just to collapse in our Father's arms, our Savior's arms, knowing we had no more to give. Earlier, I said, when guys, I used a football term, let's all huddle up. Those big guys really don't need to huddle up. They can call the play from the line. But we're in this together. As men, as families, we're in this together. And we need to know that we left it all out. We left it all out on the field. We have no more to give. We've prayed it up. We've stayed up. We've done what we could do. And to hear our Savior's voice and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have fought the good fight. You have finished the race." That's what I'm looking for as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, as a friend, as an uncle. To know that I've done all that I could do. I had no more left in me. I've used this vessel up. No recycling this. It's done. I gave it all up. So I just want to say, in closing, the invitation is always open. As I said, there's no better thing we can do as fathers, as mothers, as grandparents, as uncles, as older brothers, as older sisters, is to personally have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, if you don't have that, once you do that today, step out onto the field. Ask Christ in your life to be your Savior. Because like I said, a man loves his mother, but he'll follow his father. Maybe you're the one to lead your son, to lead your family to Christ. So, if you'd like to do that, I would love to pray with you. I know one of our deacons would love to come down front if you'd like to and have a word of prayer. I don't know if you plan on playing anything. If you'd like to, now would be a good time. But you can receive the Lord as your personal Savior today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till this evening. Why not do it now? Maybe you've never stepped out on faith and asked Christ to be your Savior. Can never be too old for that, right? Ask Him to be your Heavenly Father today on Father's Day, and He'll give you the keys to His kingdom in heaven and spend eternity with Him. So if you'd like to come down and pray, I'd sure love to pray with you. If you'd like to come down to the altars and pray, Maybe some of you dads would like to bring your whole family down and pray. Or maybe just pray right where you're at in that pew. Put your arm around your family member and just lift them up in prayer.